and amen. You may be seated. Well, are you glad you came to church here today? Praise the Lord. Well, it sure is good to see everybody. I know you're ready to receive the word. I'll tell you what, you're here in what the church world calls, you know, the dead days of summer. You know, we're getting, you know, late into the year, and so many times, you know, in the church world, they say August is the down month and everything. Well, it hasn't been that way for us, and we're here in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And we're here to rejoice and to hear his word. Glory to God. Again, just welcome those that are visiting Family Church today. For those that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we're just so glad to see you. Church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting friends feel warm and welcome? Let's make sure we welcome those that are visiting here today. I'll tell you what, the presence of God is real thick in here today, real strong, you know, just praising him, glorifying him. That means he's got something to do. That means he's got something to teach us. That means he's got something to reveal to us. Amen. Are you ready to receive it? Yes. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3. And today I'm going to call this message, Find Your Path to Healing. Find your path to healing. Now, the good news is that what we're going to teach today doesn't only pertain to the healing promises of God. It pertains to all the promises of God. But you know that over the last several weeks, I've been in a series of messages about divine healing. And a few weeks ago, we started right back there in the book of Genesis, all the way back in chapter 3. And we saw from the moment that man sinned, the moment that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God over there in Genesis 3:15, he put a plan in motion to get into covenant with you and I and to fulfill every need, spirit, soul, and body through this covenant that he eventually started with Abraham. And we remember Genesis 3:15, how as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, of course, God was placing judgment upon them for their disobedience. And of course, you know, he judged the serpent who was the devil himself. And remember what he told the devil. He said, there's coming a day when the seed of the woman is going to dash your head and you will bruise his heel. And we know that the one that came and dashed the head of the serpent, whose heel was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. Jesus Christ fulfilled that promise made in the Garden of Eden all the way back there with Adam and Eve. Jesus came, he fulfilled that, and he brought us back into God's original intention for our lives. He gave us a covenant, and he gave us a covenant of salvation and the freedom from sin. He gave us a covenant of healing. He gave us a covenant of provision, and he gave us a covenant of protection. Amen. And we remember we went over there to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. And remember what the Lord said. He said, I am the Lord, your God. If you will obey the Lord, your God. Now, that wasn't him saying that there might be other gods. He's saying, I belong to you and you belong to me. He says, for I am the Lord God that heals you at the end of Exodus 15, 26. He revealed himself not just as a healer, but our healer. There's going to have to come a time where we take possession of who God is to us. You know, a lot of Christians, they take possession of God, our Savior, but very few start taking possession of God, our healer, or God, our provider, or God, our protector. Amen. And we need to take ownership because he is the Lord, our God. He's not just a God or the God. He's my God. He is my Savior, my healer, my provider, my protector. And all that I am belongs to him, and all that he is belongs to me. Amen. And so we looked at that to start. And then we went on to talk about healing authority. And we looked at Matthew chapter 8, and we saw where, you know, Jesus approached that leper, or I guess it was the other way around. The leper approached Jesus. And remember, the only time in the Bible where someone asked the Lord if it was his will to heal. And remember, he said, Lord, if it's your will, you'll heal me. And what did Jesus do? He turned and he said, it is my will. right? And he answered that question definitively. And then Jesus reached out when he put his hands on a leper, which was something you were not supposed to do. And he said, be cleansed or whole or healed from that leprosy. Amen. And we, of course, we looked all throughout the Bible and we saw God's will to heal. We saw Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. You know, we went and, you know, we even mentioned Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, what Jesus did is he healed. Yes. Amen. And of course, we are reminded of John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And we said this, number one, you've got to be absolutely convinced of God's will. People that sit there and they wonder about God's will, it is a lie to believe, well, if God wants it, it'll happen, and if he doesn't, then it won't. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That's not how God works. There's a lot of things that are gonna happen today that God never wanted to happen today. We know that we've got to know the will of God. The Bible says over there in 1 John 5:14, it says that when we pray, that, can you bring up that verse for me? Because I just wanna make sure that I'm not quote misquoting it. But when, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we're going to be heard in heaven, we've got to know God's will. And God's will, it's 1 John 5:14, if you could bring that up. We've got to know what the will of God is. And if we're sitting there with all this uncertainty, that means we have not done our homework, right? It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now look at verse 15, tells us what happens when he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So when I go to God knowing his will, I can be assured that he hears me. And when he hears me, I can be assured that I have what I ask. Amen. I have it at the time that I ask him. Amen. You know, and so many times, you know, Christians are, they're curious or they're not confident about what the will of God is. You've got to know the will of God. And if you don't, it's because we haven't done our homework. The second thing we saw in Matthew chapter 8 is that we've got to know and understand the authority structure of God. Remember how the Roman centurion had a servant that was home, that was sick of the palsy? And remember, he told Jesus, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof. Now, that wasn't the reason why Jesus healed his servant. He went on to say, this Roman centurion said, but Lord, just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He said, for I too am a man under authority. He said, I too, meaning I also, I know how authority works. He says, I have soldiers under me, and I tell this one to do it, and he does it. I tell this one to go, and he goes. I tell my servant instruction, and my servant follows my commands. And this man was saying, Lord, just as I have authority, or I outrank these soldiers in my platoon, you outrank sickness and disease. That we have to remember that sickness is not a master, it's a servant. Sickness is not a master, but in our minds, we think it's a master. You know, we get scared of it and we get, you know, terrified of it. But this Roman centurion, you know, he said, I understand how it works, Lord. You speak the word, that your words of authority will drive that sickness out. And it says that Jesus marveled at that man's great faith. And we studied and we understood that the authority of Christ has been delegated to us, the church. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, the authority that was given to Adam and Eve was stolen from them. You know, Adam was the one that was supposed to stop that devil in his tracks. So many Christians today, they think God's gonna stop the devil for you. God's not gonna stop the devil for you. You are going to have to stop him. But you gotta understand how authority works. And thirdly, we said, you've gotta be bold enough to speak something. A lot of Christians, they'll hear a message like this, you know, and they'll consider it and they might even agree with it, but they go home and they don't do it. If symptoms are on your body, you need to tell that thief to steal no more. You know, if an attack of illness or something that, you know, tries to come upon your family, your kids, or whatever, somebody in that place has got to stand up with some authority. And it's not just a healing thing, but healing is certainly included. And of course, last week we looked at healing is in the church. And we saw how our participation in the local church body can have a great benefit to our physical health. But if we neglect the local church, remember what Paul told the Corinthians? He said, because you did not understand or discriminate or to perceive the significance of the Lord's body. Who is the Lord's body? We are the church. He said, because you didn't understand the significance of the Lord's body, but because you had careless and reckless participation, he said, many of you are weak, sick, and die young. Wow. And he revealed, you know, why that judgment had come upon the Corinthians, because they were careless about the local church. Woo, boy, I know it sure gets quiet in here. But we took a look at the word, and that's what the word says. Now, that doesn't mean every Christian who gets sick was neglecting of the local church. You understand? We're just showing you that that's one sort of thing that we have got to take care of in our life. Amen? Now, today we're going to talk about how to find your path to healing. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to go to verses 5 and 6. And these are familiar scriptures to many of us. We're familiar with them. No doubt you've quoted these or meditated on these or seen these written in a card or something probably 100 times. But we're going to actually look at these verses and teach on them. We're going to break it down and we're going to teach on them. Notice it says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And we start to see, and I got to make sure I don't give away my thunder early, but we can start to see that our own understanding and God's understanding are not the same things. That we cannot trust our own ways or our own plans, all right? And we know this, if we're not careful, our own understanding is the enemy to the plan of God. And if we start to put our own plan into practice, we start trying to just figure things out on our own. We just assume we know what's best. All right, that's going to be the enemy to the plan of God. And we know this. I'll tell you what, the biggest, you know, adversary in your life is not the devil himself. The biggest adversary in your life is about that 14 inches from your chin to the top of your head. If you will win in your thought life, If you will know how to discern, like what the Bible says, how to cast down thoughts and imaginations, if you'll learn how not to take every thought that comes into your brain, you know, you can start to walk in the plan of God, because God is not communicating with your brain. God is not communicating with your understanding. Notice you have to trust in the Lord with your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The word understanding is also used for your mind and your intellect. What does that mean? God's talking to your heart or the center of your being. He's not communicating with your brain. But a lot of Christians, they go to their thought life to try to find God's plan for their life. No, you've got to search the inward man. And we're going to talk about that, no doubt, here in a little bit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on that brain. That is right above your eyeballs, because he gives us problems. In verse 6, it says, in all your ways, everyone say ways. All your ways, plural, acknowledge him, the Lord, and the Lord shall direct your paths. Everyone say paths. You know, and we see here that the word paths is plural, that the word ways is plural. And that's where we're going to start right here. We're going to start breaking down these verses. Notice, first and foremost, that the Lord has paths for your life. Now, it's notice the word paths is plural. It's not just your path. So many times, a lot of Christians, they think that God just has one big general direction for your life. And it's true. God does have a direction for your life. But what about all the details of your life? What about all the many paths that the Lord wants to lead you in? All right? Think about it this way. There's a path in, you know, getting married or marrying the right person. There's a path in buying a home. There's a path that the Lord will lead, you know, each married couple separately of how to have children or when to have children. And the Lord will lead paths in what job to take, what house to buy, whether to go to college or not, or what to do later on in life, all right? There's many paths or directions for the things that God has for you, all right? Think about each need we have in our life. For every need, there's a path to get to it. Yes. All right, let me say that again. Folks, for every need that you have in your life, there's a path to get to it. Meaning that when I say path, I mean steps to take or God-given actions to obey to get to the promise that God has for you. God has a promise for every need, spirit, soul, and body. But just remember this, your path is going to look different than someone else's path. Notice the paths are called your paths. God, you know, does not lead everybody exactly the same. He might provide his will. How many of you know he's got a will to prosper our lives? He does. But the path that each of us take to get there is going to look different. How many of you believe that God's got a promise to be our healer? Amen. Amen. However, the path to get there for each of us is going to look different. And so notice that you have specific paths to get to the promise of God. And God has many ways of doing things, all right? He doesn't do everything the same way for every single person. And today I'm going to talk about, you know, three simple things that you and I can do to make sure that we find our path. Now, again, it's not just for healing. But now I'm going to apply it to healing. But it's for all the promises of God. Amen. God has a divine direction or steps or actions to take so that we can get to every need in your life. Is healing a need in our lives? Yes, it is. Are finances a need in our lives? Yes, they are. Is joy and peace a need in our life? Yes, they are. God's got a path. Or literally instructions that are going to be specific to you in order to get there. But so many times we lean on our own understanding. We think, well, God did it this way for so-and-so. He's got to do it that way for me. No, that's your own understanding. Hold your place here in Proverbs 3. We may or may not come back to it. Flip over to Isaiah. Go over to chapter 55 in the book of Isaiah. Praise the Lord. There's a path. The good news is there's a way. Amen. But the Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways. See, when we think of ways or paths, we sometimes just think, well, the ways of God are his character and, you know, his integrity. Well, yeah, that certainly is included. But the term way means the direction that you take or the set of directions or turns or whatever, the steps in order to get to a destination. Go over there to Isaiah. Did I say 55 in verse 8? Is that the verse that we want to look at? I believe it is. Praise the Lord. Go over there. And again, this is a familiar scripture. God speaking, and he says this a couple of different times throughout the Bible. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Again, he's reinforcing this idea. Don't lean on what you think or your plan or the direction you would take to meet your need. Our job is to find out how God wants us to get to that destination. Just knowing that God is your healer is not enough. Just knowing that it's his will is not enough. Now we're going to fill in the rest of the story. How do we get there? We got to find the path. We got to find the way. We've got to know that and understand that. And I'm going to show you how to do that. Go over to Isaiah 55:8 again. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." God is saying, I don't think like you. You know, I love this verse. He says, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We could go over to Psalm, 103, the ways of God, the thoughts of God, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, his ways, his thoughts, his mercy is that high, as far as the east is from the west. God always thinks the highest possible outcome for us. I love that. A lot of times we don't think that God's thinking the highest, but he is. He's thinking the highest thoughts for you and I. But we've got to understand the way he gets there, it's going to be different. And I'm going to give you some examples of this. Like I said, go back over to Proverbs now. I told you we may go right back there. Go to Proverbs chapter 3 again. Praise the Lord. Go back over to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Our understanding is the plans that we make to try to meet needs in our life. Oh, here we go. But we have to know that our understanding might be the exact thing that'll take us right off the path that would get us there. Folks, we lean way more on our own understanding than we realize, and we cannot do that. Amen. Our understanding is the very enemy of what God wants to do and understand. So many times we think that if we're just using our faith for something, that that's going to be enough. Lord, show us how you want to meet this need. Show us what you want us to do specifically. What is the path? Because God has many ways to bring healing into our life. And sometimes people just assume that the one way that someone else got it is the way that they have to get it. For instance, you'll notice that a lot of times there's a lot of people that will have hands laid upon them, and some get healed from it and some don't. And sometimes people, you know, Christians especially, they get really discouraged. They think, well, how come laying on of hands worked for them, but it didn't work for me? People say, you know, well, laying on of hands didn't work. No, it wasn't that it didn't work. That just wasn't the way that God had for you. You know, the laying on of hands now, talking about that specifically, is mostly for unbelievers or people that aren't taught. But if you're taught the word of God, there's going to be a different way for you to receive than an unbeliever or a non-churched or an unlearned believer. You've got to know and understand how God has called you to receive his promises. Amen. You know, we see, you know, God's ways are so different. They're unorthodox. You know, think about it. You know, from the beginning of the Bible all the way through when he would call people and put them in places or meet a need in their life. Think about David. He was called and anointed to be king, but what was the path for him to become king? Was he raised in a palace? Was he educated in king school? No, when he was anointed to be king, what was he doing? He was out tending sheep. His path for promotion was out in the field doing a menial task, serving his dad and serving the Lord with his heart. That doesn't make natural sense, but God's ways, you know, are higher than our ways. For whatever reason, God said, you out in that field watching those sheep is going to prepare you for that office more than anything else. Some pastors, you know, they're taken to seminary and things, but my path did not take me through a seminary. You know, the Lord showed me, you know, a different path. You know, we got to understand, just because God did something with one doesn't mean he's going to do it for all. He doesn't do it all the same way. Are you getting a hold of this? He has a path for every need in your life. He has a path for these details in your life. And I'm going to show you how to get into that. You know, we have examples, you know, going into the New Testament. Remember when Peter was challenged by the Pharisees, it says, does not your master pay the taxes? And remember, you know, Peter was kind of challenged by that. And he goes to Jesus and said, hey, they want to know, why don't you pay your taxes? And Jesus gave a really interesting response, and I can't talk about it because it'll take me off into a tangent. I know, it's fun, but we'll get to that another day. But Jesus told Peter, he said, okay. He said, go out and cast a hook into the lake there. And he said, in the first fish that comes up, you're going to find a coin in that fish's mouth. Take it and pay your taxes and mine. Now, how many of you know a need arose? In Peter, no doubt, what would we do when we have a financial need? We start to go into our own understanding. Well, I got a need. I better work more hours. I can't go to church anymore because I need to work instead. Oh, I've got to sell something nice in my life that the Lord blessed me with, because we just start immediately going to our own understanding. But did we ever stop to ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want to meet this need? I mean, no one could have ever guessed that he would have said there was a coin in the fish's mouth. Listen, I'm telling you, if God has coins in the fish's mouth, let's go fishing. But no, if he can do that, what ways could he lead you? What could he tell you to do that might be way out of your thought realm, but it could absolutely meet your needs? That was a path for Peter. You know, think about the man in John chapter, what was that? John chapter 9, the man that was the blind man at the pool of Siloam. Remember, Jesus knelt down, spit into the dirt, made clay, put it on the blind man's eyes, and the blind man got healed, or his vision returned. How many of you know that's miraculous? All right, but how many of you know Jesus didn't heal every blind person that way? Why was it? That was a path for that man. You know, think about all those different times. How come Jesus, you know, licked his fingers and put it in deaf ears? The Holy Ghost wet willy, right? And all of a sudden the deaf could hear, but notice Jesus didn't heal the deaf that way every time. Why? Because that was a path, or that was one way. How about the woman with the issue of blood? She pressed through the crowd and she said within herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. What was that? That was her path. But notice there were many people touching Jesus' clothes that day, and only she got healed. Why? Because it wasn't a path for all. It was a path for one. How about Acts chapter 19, that aprons and handkerchiefs were taken off Paul's body, that the anointing of God was on Paul so strong, they took fabric that he had been wearing and put it upon those that were diseased or demon-possessed, and they were healed and delivered from that. Now, the modern church has tried to turn that into a doctrine, that we can do that every time. But that isn't a path every time. All right, that was a path for them at that time. Your blessing, the promise of God, is what the Holy Ghost is telling you at the moment. And so often we want to use a boilerplate thing. Well, this is how so-and-so got it. This is what so-and-so did. But did we take the time to find his ways? Because here is what we got to remember. God wants us to discover his ways more than we should desire what we're trying to get from him. You know what I mean? You know, we should have a heart like God. We want to know your ways, Lord. Knowing his ways is more important than getting your healing. His ways can lead to that and do lead to that. But knowing his ways is more important than getting the finances that you need. But a lot of times, what are we doing? Lord, I receive healing. Lord, I receive your, you know, money. I receive financial help. But we should be crying out for his ways. His ways. Let me show you this. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We want to know your ways, Lord. Father, we know that it's your will to heal. Father, we know that it's our will to be healed. So what's the breakdown? What's the disconnect? Let's take a look at this. John chapter 5, there's a way. Aren't you glad there's always a way? But if we're not careful, you know, we'll start closing down paths. Be careful, don't shut down paths. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Go to John chapter 5. We're going to read the first 9 verses. This is a very interesting account. But the Bible says it, I believe it. Do you believe it? I believe it. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool. You know that one, right? You've been there, right? So that you know, right? Remember this pool down there, Jerusalem? Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches or 5 pavilions is the way we would say it. In these pavilions lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Because an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled or stirred the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Isn't that interesting? And we're never told, I mean, could these people see this angel? I think we don't know, but we kind of assume that they don't see the angel. However, they see the troubling of the water, and whoever got into it first after the water was stirred, right? Amen. They would get healed, and this was very interesting, but notice it was for one. Now, in verse 5, it says, and a certain man was there, one out of many. Remember that? There was a multitude in five different pavilions. There was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to deal with a condition. In verse 6, it says, when Jesus saw him lie there and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, Jesus said to him, wilt thou be made whole? Or literally, do you will to be healed? Notice it's interesting how God, you know, mankind is always asking God what his will is on healing. Here we see God asking man, what's your will on healing? Because everyone thinks that God's will alone is the only component in healing. No, the will of man is a component in healing. God can want it all day for you, but God cannot barge into your life if you don't have the will for it. We talked about this last week, didn't we? So many times God's got the will, but people don't have the will. People are not willing so many times to do what it takes to walk in the blessing of God. Amen. So instead of man asking God, do you will? God's asking man, do you will? Do you will? Why is Jesus asking him that? Think about this question. This is a really interesting question. He says, do you have the will to be healed? All right. Now, of course, Jesus already knows that man wants to be healed. That man wants to be healed. He's there. He's trying to crawl down into the pool. He's never making it, right? Let's keep on reading, just so you know, verse 7. And the impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no one when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down ahead of me or in front of me, and they get the blessing. Of course, Jesus knows that man wants it. That's why that guy is there. Jesus isn't asking him because he doesn't know if he wants it or not. Of course, he does. But Jesus is asking him, do you will? Or you could say it this way, are you willing to accept that there might be another path? Okay. There might be a different path for you because you're not making it for this path. Notice that day, there were many people there wanting the same thing, trying to get the same promise of God. Notice there was a supernatural supply, all right? However, the path that was available was not available to all. It was available to one. They all wanted the same promise, but they were all trying to get the promise the same exact way. And only it wasn't a path for all. It was a path for one. And Jesus approaches this man and says, do you want to be whole and healthy? Because you keep trying the same thing and it's not working. It's not because God doesn't want to do this for you, but because there's a different path for you. There's another way. That man was leaning on his own understanding. I've got to get healed the same way I saw someone else get healed. That wasn't the way for this man. Why? Look at the next verse. Look at verse 8. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. His answer wasn't that angel. His answer was a command from the Lord. He didn't feel like walking. He didn't feel like standing up, right? In verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and the same day was a Sabbath. And of course, Jesus is going to, you know, get attacked by the Pharisees. If you saw a man who was crippled for 38 years walk, why would you criticize Jesus? But they did. But the point I'm trying to make here is that this man was so locked in to think that that's the way that I've got to get healed. That's the way it's got to happen for me. Meanwhile, he was leaning on his own understanding when we can be that guy if we're not careful. But maybe we need to start asking God, God, how do you want to do this? How do you want to do this? And now I'm going to give you three ways to get into your path. And that's number one. Yes. Number one, go to God. If you want to find the paths for your life, there's going to have to be something about us, something in our faith, in our prayer life that says, Father, how do you want to meet this need? Yes. You will it. I will it. But what actions must we take to see this come to pass? Amen. How about the loved ones that you're praying for? Maybe you've got lost, you know, friends and relatives that you want to see them get saved. Or maybe you know somebody that's wayward with God. There's a path to reach them. There's a path to reach them. And so many times we're just throwing our own ideas at it. Have we gone to God and say, Father, how do you want to meet this need? How do you want me to witness to that friend or that coworker or that family member in my life? Lord, how do you want to reach my grown child? How do you want to reach this person? You know, Lord, how do you want me? What path is it, you know, to find that need in my life or a need in somebody else's life? Number one way to find God's ways, all right, is to ask him to show us his ways. One of the most overlooked, ask and you will find, right? Ask and he'll answer you. You know, if we seek him, we will find it. So many times we just say, Lord, I believe in the healing. Lord, I believe in the prosperity. Lord, I believe in this need being met, but we've never asked for the way to get there, right? What did David say? Where is that scripture? You know, is it Psalm 139 or is it Psalm 137? Verses just start playing in my spirit, and maybe my mind doesn't make the connection of exactly where it is in the Bible, but I believe it's in that neighborhood. Where is that verse? Is it Psalm 137 or is it Psalm 139 or is it none of the above? Where David says, lead me in the way of everlasting. Where is that verse, somebody? Come on, someone shout it out. 139 verse 24. Yes. I like, you know, start up there in verse 23. It says, search me, O God, know my heart. Test me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. And so many people, they would look at that verse and say, well, no, he's just saying, reveal the sins or the wickedness in me. Well, here's the fact of the matter. When we lean on our own understanding, that is wicked. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. But we've got to know the way. When it comes to healing, God might have a way. I've heard so many Christians, they'll say, no, I'm not going to see a doctor. I refuse medical help. I'm not going to do this. That's not the way I want to be healed. But that might be the way that God has for you. That might be. That's one way. Do you understand that God does use doctors and medicine? How many people that have refused and refused and refused and they've gotten stubborn, but they don't realize that they're closing a path that God could use to get you to that need? God's not against doctors. He talks about it all the time. Jesus said, where is that? Matthew 9:13. He said, those that be well need not a doctor, but those that be sick. Right? The Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. That doesn't mean that all medicines are for you. You know, we should be led and we should know what God would have for us, but don't close off a path. All right. Number one way how to find your path is ask the Lord, how do you want to meet this need? Yeah. People think that just because God wants something that it automatically materializes. He's got to show us, what steps do I take? Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, so many times the Lord has, you know, led me to do something that seemed completely disconnected to my need. All of a sudden, he'll start telling you to do things that seem completely separate. But again, his ways are higher than our ways. You know, there was a time, I mean, so many instances, believing things, having a need. I remember one time where the Lord, spoke to me, in prayer and said, give so-and-so $500. And I remember saying, Lord, I don't have $500 at that time. I was like, I don't have $500 to give so-and-so. And this person was not someone close. They weren't a dear friend. They weren't a family member. I mean, I liked them, okay. I mean, they just weren't real close. They're all right, I guess. But just to be honest, in my own ways, I would have never thought just to go hand that person $500. It came out of nowhere. And I said, okay, well, when I get the 500, I'll make sure I know who to give it to. And wouldn't you know, less than 24 hours, this was back in our old building, there was an envelope on my seat with my name on it, and it was anonymous, and I just put it in my pocket or whatever, and I got home later that day, and I opened up the envelope. There was $500 in it. Not 510, not 490. Not 350, not halfway there. Not that 350 is half of 500, you know what I'm saying. I'm a little bit better at math than that. But I wasn't sure, it wasn't more. It was right on the money. And for a half a second, I started to get excited. Like, oh, praise the Lord. See, so many times what we think is harvest is really a seed. And so I already had instructions ahead of time. See, the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. And so I'll be honest, in my flesh and in my mind, I reluctantly made sure that somebody went and handed that individual an anonymous envelope with 500, and that person's not here today. All right. It was interesting. That person was in our church for a while. They got an anonymous envelope with $500. 2 weeks later, they never came back to church. Man, I tell you what, if we start handing out $500, you'd think that you'd come back, right? I don't know why. God must have just paid them to leave the church. I don't know. That's not your path. And so I was just like, why, Lord, why'd you have me to do that? Why? Years later, when my wife and I were in the midst of purchasing the house that we're living in now, there was a lot of hurdles and stuff like that. And this was literally like 2 to 3 years later. I had totally forgotten about that. And, God just, was good and opened that door and we got into our home and we've been there now for 13 years and all this. And it was so far after the fact. I remember I was out in my driveway. I don't know what I was doing. I just remember being outside and I just thanked the Lord, like I do about every day. Thank you, Lord, for our home. Thank you, Lord, for, what you've provided for us, just being grateful. And out of nowhere, the voice of the Holy Ghost said, remember when I had you give so-and-so $500? You would have not gotten into your home without that. His ways are above our ways. So I'm just trying to tell you, so many times people say, there's no way I'm gonna get a surgery. There's no way I'm taking medicine. There's no way I'm going to a doctor. Well, you need to ask yourself, maybe his ways are above, have you consulted with the Lord? We have to understand this. Spiritual maturity is about hearing the voice of God in our hearts and letting it make our flesh and our mind uncomfortable. You are not spiritually mature until you have peace in your spirit, but it makes you uncomfortable in your flesh and in your mind, and you step out and you do that thing. Let's use tithing for an example. So many Christians, they have never yet been obedient in the tithe because they cannot get to a point where their heart embraces the word enough to make their mind and their bodies uncomfortable. Exactly right. You are never gonna go any further with God until you step out and start growing in maturity where it says, listen, I know this is uncomfortable in my mind. It's uncomfortable in my flesh. However, I'm not leaning unto my own understanding. Because the Bible says that he will open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, because God honors the tither. Amen. A lot of Christians, they never get that way with praise and worship. They've never learned to lift their hands and to lift their voices because they are not spiritually mature enough to have peace in their spirit, you know, to know what God wants to do in their heart through the word of God and make their flesh and their mind submit and obey. I don't lift my hands and praise God because that's my personality. I lift my hands and praise God because that's his word. And I've got to have the maturity enough to crucify my flesh. Amen. So in the same way, are you willing to hear God's voice and he may lead you in a way that you do not want to go? All right. But the question is, do you have peace to do that? And that's the second point that we're going to make here today. Number one way to find your path, ask God. How do you want to meet this need? Father, show me your ways. Show me the path. Show me the steps that I have to take. The Lord could reveal to you, oh yeah, okay, go forgive somebody. Have you ever been in a position where you've got to forgive somebody even though you're right? You know, that happens to me as a pastor, often in the terms, that sounded arrogant, that's not what I meant. I don't mean that I'm always right. That's not what I'm saying. But as a pastor, bear with me here. But as a pastor, I have to give instructions a lot of times to people that they don't want to hear. And of course, my job is to give instructions out of the word of God. You know, and I'll give instructions that people don't want to hear, and they get offended with me, and they get mad at me. You know, that happens. You know, and one such case, recently, I had to, you know, send somebody a message, let them know, forgive me, I didn't mean to offend you. I could just tell I had to step out and take the high road, you know, seek forgiveness, even when I felt that I was technically right. Actually, I'll say it this way. I know I was. I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. I was trying to give instruction to help get their life on track and stuff like that. And people don't want to hear it. They don't want to, you know, do this. And you can be right, but you know that you've got to make peace. Because this is the second way that you're going to get on the path of God and stay on the path of God. And that's by being at peace. Both with your decisions and with people. Real quickly, go to Colossians chapter 3. Number one, we got to ask God, show me your ways. Lord, how do you want to meet this need? Oh my goodness. As a pastor, you know, churches come up with needs all the time. Actually, we've got one right now. This is kind of an example. We have the need of a new parking lot out there. You know, our current parking lot is crumbling and we have it scheduled to be replaced and all this. And it's expensive. You know, have you noticed how cheap everything is these days? I mean, everything's just so bargain priced. Have you noticed that? Some of you are wondering what I'm talking about. I'm being facetious, sarcastic. Some of you aren't picking up on it because you're not paying attention. Praise the Lord, counting the ceiling boards. Okay, I'm just going to give everybody a heads up. Jesus is not coming at noon today. You know, people think that in the church world, noon is the miracle hour. And the miracle is that's when God makes the pastor be quiet. Nope, that doesn't exist. And you know it doesn't exist around here. But what were we talking about? We have a need. And when we have that need, and of course it's expensive and so on, I've been asking the Lord, how do you want to meet this need? And now often, you know, what we just do, and this still might happen, but for some reason, this time, the Lord's not having me, and I know I'm talking about it now publicly, but I've not been going out leading a capital campaign. Notice we haven't been doing a fundraiser for that. For whatever reason, that's not the path this time, or at least it's not the path right yet. You know, and so the Lord is just, you know, leading me to just, you know, keep preaching and keep showing up for service. That need's going to be met. Amen. that thing is going to get done this year. It's already running late, but it's not running late because of our financial situation. It's because every contractor in the world seems to be delayed right now, right? And so, Lord, how do you want to meet this need? Because he's got a way. He's got a path. He's going to meet that need. And I'm not just assuming it's going to be the same way we've already done things. We've got to seek him. Lord, how do you want to do this? Two, we've got to follow peace. Go to Colossians 3, and we'll get ready to wrap this up. Lord, show me your ways. Your ways are above my ways. Your thoughts are above my thoughts. Father, you've got a path that leads to every need being met. You've got a path that leads to every promise. Father, you've got a path, you know, for me to help other people. You've got a path that can reach my lost loved one or my wayward child. Father, you've got a path. Amen. Amen. Show me your way. So often Christians are just throwing things at God and hoping that something sticks. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Can we bring this up in the Amplified? The Amplified really brings this home. Love this verse in the Amplified. You know, if we're going to be spiritually mature, we got to be able to hear things. You know, we got to be able to want to obey in our heart and make our flesh and our mind get uncomfortable. If you've ever wondered where God's power lives, it lives on the other side of your flesh and your mind crawling with discomfort. If God tells you something uncomfortable to do, embrace it, because that's the way. But so many Christians, they'll say, oh, no, I'm not going to tithe. See, if you're not a tither, you have shut down a path. If you aren't willing to forgive people, you're shutting down a path. If you're constantly fighting with everybody, you're shutting down the potential paths that God has for you. You are leaning on your own understanding. If you don't go to God like David did that we looked at over there in Psalm 139, you know, if we don't, like, Lord, search my thoughts. Search me, O Lord. Lead me in the way everlasting. Until we have that submissive spirit, amen. But if we keep fighting with everybody, disobeying God, skipping church, some people, they'll come up to a financial need, like I said, they'll just work more. But the more you miss church, the more you're shutting down doors, shutting down paths. More services you stand there refusing to praise God, you're just shutting down paths that he has for you. The more we just shut things down, we're closing the ways that he could use to get our need to us. Here's the second thing, peace. It says, let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule. Act as an umpire continually in your hearts. Notice this, that peace is an umpire that is in your heart all the time. And what is an umpire? An umpire, of course, you're familiar with the sport of baseball, but they say you're safe or they say you're out. And in the same way, the Spirit of God within our own heart will let us know through our conscience whether something is safe for us or not safe for us. It could be a potential spouse. What is the umpire saying about that relationship? Is it safe or out? You know, how about that new job? Do you listen to your spirit? You know, how about sending your kids to a certain school? How about, you know, investing in different things or buying a house? Do you look to the umpire on the inside? Is the answer, does peace tell you safe or out? You know, how about the direction that God could have for you to receive healing? What if you need to have a surgery, but in your own understanding, you said, nope, I'm not going to do that. But on the inside, you could have peace about that. Safe or out. See, we are supposed to look into our conscience to find the will of God for our lives. And I'm going to show you what happens to Christians that disobey the peace of God in their heart. Let the peace from Christ rule and act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which we are members of Christ's body, Noticing it says, settling with finality all questions that arise. You got a question of what do I do? What do I do? What should I do in this circumstance? Go to the umpire on the inside. Be led by the Spirit, which is the voice of your conscience. So many Christians, they neglect this. You know, I'll tell you what. Being a Christian who does not know what step to take next, it shouldn't be. We should always know from heaven at least what the next step is. Yes. Amen. Amen. The joy of knowing God is the joy of knowing what to do. If you don't know what to do in a situation, you need to go to that umpire. You say, well, Pastor, I'm listening on the inside, and I don't get a red light, and I don't get a green light. Well, if you get a yellow light, you're supposed to hit the brakes. I know we might not do that in our natural lives, but if you don't have a direct answer, you need to wait until you do. So many Christians are violating their conscience, and therefore they're shipwrecking their lives. You've got to have peace with the decisions that you're making, because if God doesn't have that path for you, you won't have peace on it.
Right.
See, that umpire is trying to shut down paths that you shouldn't take.
Yeah.
That umpire is trying to shut down your own understanding and trying to get you to lean on his understanding. Listen, I don't want my ways. I want his ways. And I've got an umpire in my heart, in the spirit of man. What is that? Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of our belly. God is speaking to you, not up here in your brain. He's talking to you down here in your spirit. Yeah. Where's that verse? Bring up. I hear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Let's look at this verse. Wasn't planning on going there. I want to preach by the Holy Ghost. Yes, I have a general direction, but the Holy Ghost will take us. Why? Because there's a path for every service. He's directing a path, even in our service. This might be the same topic I preached last night, but it hasn't come out the same. The scripture wasn't shared. But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. If you study that word heart there, it means the mind of man. If you want to study it out, sometimes you've got to be careful how the Bible uses the word heart. Sometimes it's talking about the human spirit. Sometimes it's talking about the human mind. That's why you've got to study. Because that word in the Hebrew, or the Greek here, means the mind of man. Neither eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind has not conceived the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, often we think of this scripture about, funerals and people that have gone to heaven, and we think, oh, heaven is going to be great someday, and heaven is going to be great. But the things that God has prepared for you that he's talking about here is not talking about things in heaven. Why? Keep reading. Go down to verse 10. It says, but God has revealed them, the things that eye couldn't see, ear couldn't hear, and mind could not see. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. How many of you want the deep things of God?
Yeah.
All right. That's where the treasures are.
Yeah.
Have you seen these treasure hunting shows? I've never seen them just go out, with one shovel or a little trowel and say, oh, look, there's a pot of gold, or a chest of gold just 3 inches under the dirt. It's always way down there, right?
Yeah.
But look at verse 11. How do you search for the deep things of God? For what man knows the things of a man? What person knows the things that God prepared for you, the things that eye can't see,
sure,
the things that ear can't hear, the things that your own mind can't understand? What man knows those things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him?
Yes.
Not the mind of man, the spirit of man. God is not talking to your brain. He is talking to your spirit. And you've got to, on a daily basis, make those decisions with that peace in your spirit.
Yeah.
Can I do this and still have peace? You know, that will affect all areas in life. Even the entertainment that you choose. Even the hobbies that you partake in. You know, certain kinds of entertainment, certain movies. Can you watch that movie and still have peace? You ever sat down to watch something and all of a sudden it turns raunchy or wrong and just on the inside you lose your peace and your conscience? What's that mean? That thing's got to go. Because you've got to protect the peace that is in your spirit at all costs. You ever, you know, heard a song or listening to music, or maybe it could even be some oldie, and it starts talking about trashy things. And all of a sudden your spirit's not okay with that. Time to turn it off. You know, or even something that within itself is not sinful, but God doesn't have for you. You know, I've had several things that I've wanted to do in life, but God says, no, I'm sorry, there's no peace in that for you. I thought there would be peace in it for me, but there's no peace in it because God communicates with our spirit. Can you bring up 1 Timothy 1:19? These are not verses that were necessarily in my notes. I did go to this verse last night. 1 Timothy 1:19, the Bible says that we should hold faith and a good conscience. The word good there is our word. We call it a clear conscience. So let's say it this way, because this is the word that is actually used. Holding faith and a clear conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Notice if you do something with an unclear conscience, it's called, it's anti-faith. You cannot have faith until your conscience is clear. Oh, faith is always where your conscience is clear. Do you have peace to do that? Do you have peace to have that surgery? Do you have peace to, you know, take that doctor's recommendation? There's been times when I have no peace to take something or to seek medical help. You know, I mean, it can work that way too. You know, do you have peace to take that new job? Do you have peace to move? Do you have peace to do that? Right. Amen. Oh, come on. You got to keep a clear conscience, because notice what happens when you throw away a clear conscience, you shipwreck your life. People become shipwrecked because they're not listening on the inside. God will speak to you on the inside of things to do, steps to take, that will lead you to a path to fulfill his promise. That promise could be healing. That promise could be the financial help that you need. That promise could be a whole host of different things. But you understand the point that I'm making? We will not fulfill the path of God in our life if we're closing, you know, things down by not walking in peace. If you are doing things that violate your conscience, you are shutting down God's path to his promises in your life. Amen. Number one, you got to know the way. Lord, how do you want to meet this need? Two, we've got to follow peace. And it might be even decisions that you're making that is completely unrelated to health or healing. God could tell you to do something. He could tell you to forgive somebody. He could tell you to give something. He could tell you to sell something. Amen. He could tell you to serve in the local church. Whatever he tells you to do, do it, because that's the path of getting needs to you. Don't try to always just, you know, connect, you know, some perfect line, because God does a lot of things that do not make sense. Because if it always made sense, we wouldn't have to use faith. And third and finally, are you ready? Find your path. Number one, ask the Lord, what's the way? How do you want to meet this need? Two, you've got to follow peace. You've got to be a person of a clear conscience. You've got to listen to the umpire on the inside every day. I'm telling you, you are spiritually immature if you are not listening on the inside on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. Absolutely. And third and finally, and this doesn't require much explanation, word and prayer. Word and prayer. The scripture says that God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. If you want your path to be clear, you are going to have to be a student. You're going to have to study the scripture. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. You're going to need to know the word. There are so many things in life that we would know what to do or not to do if we just knew what the Bible already says. The Word of God is the number one way God speaks to you. Listen, the path for healing can be shut down if we're disobeying the Word. It's not just healing. Any of our needs could be absolutely severed from us if we're not obeying what the Word already says. Amen. Amen. And prayer is not the only place, but it is probably primarily the place that God is going to speak to you and start to show you, you know, specific instructions. This is what you need to do. This is, you know, you might need to talk to somebody. You might need to, like I said, forgive somebody. You might have to, you know, whatever it is, find your instructions, because those paths will lead to the needs that you have in your life. Amen. Find your path and stop just assuming it's going to be the same old way. So many Christians, they tell me, well, Pastor, I don't get it. I'm not receiving the help I need. I go to church. I serve in the church. Well, all those things are not automatic ways. They might just be the beginning of your path. There's other instructions that we need to follow. Does this make sense? I don't know why Christians start to look at me shell-shocked when I have to look at them and say, you're going to have to get alone with God. Yeah. You're going to have to ask him. You're going to have to wait until you hear his voice. You're going to have to be somebody that's going to crucify your flesh. You're going to have to be somebody that, you know, desires to see those steps and instructions. It's not going to happen just one day. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have to be a person that is constantly looking into your spirit. Because what man will know what God has for a person except the spirit of man within him? Well, I go to church and I'm a good person. Well, that alone is not that's not a path. That might be a direction. You know, if I told you, if you came to me right now and you said, Pastor, I need directions how to get to Erie. Maybe, you know, you've never been there before. I'm sure all of us have, but I'm using it as an illustration. If someone came to you and said, I need to know how to get to Erie, what if I looked at them and said, go west? Did I give them directions? Some of you are like, no. Some of you are like, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I did. Go west. But if you just go west, does that necessarily take you right to Erie? Depending on where you're standing, and there's a whole lot of obstacles. No, how many of you know on the ground, it's not like an airplane where you can just point in any direction up there without encumbrance, you know what I mean? You've got a lot of obstacles. There's more than just a direction in life. A lot of Christians, they're just trying to live on the direction. Well, I go to church, I'm a good person. That's like somebody saying, Pastor, could you give me directions on how to get to Los Angeles? And I just say, go west. You know, that's just a general direction, but that's not going to take you necessarily to Los Angeles. You understand that? Christians are just saying, well, I go to church. I'm a good person. I even sing a little bit, or I serve a little bit. That might be just a general direction. We need to know the specific directions, the turns, the steps, the details. God is not the God who says, go west. A lot of Christians, they're just sitting in church. They don't do anything with God during the week. They come back on a Sunday and they're sitting there again and they're wondering, Lord, I need this, I need that. God, when you have a need, God doesn't say, hey, go east. If someone came to me and said, hey, tell me how to get to, which one is it in Florida? Is it Disney World or Disneyland? World? All right. World is in Florida. I've been there once. I'm never going back. if someone said, hey, Pastor, can you give me, you know, directions to Disney World? If I just said, go south, you could follow that direction to a T, but you could walk right into something that could hurt you.
Sure.
You're going to need to know when to go right, when to go left. How many miles will stay on the throughway? What exit to take? See, if you're just going to church and you're just being a good person, you're just going west to get to California. But when you're seeking God and you're asking him, Lord, show me your ways. That when you start to become spiritually mature enough to know, all right, what things do I do next? All of a sudden you're going to say, you know, the Lord put it on my heart. I need to talk to somebody. I need to forgive them. The Lord put it on my heart. I need to serve in the local church. The Lord put it on my heart. I need to go give to this individual. The Lord put it on my heart to speak to this friend or this family member about Jesus. And all of a sudden you start to follow specific directions for your path. Remember, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths. A lot of Christians are just marching west together, all doing the same thing, just going in a general direction. But we don't slow down to get the specific instructions, what turns to make, what to do, what not to do. Does that make sense here today? It is upon those paths that your needs are met. It is upon those specific instructions that your needs are met. So many Christians, Pastor, how do I find healing? It would be wrong if I said, just go west. Right. That'd be wrong for me just to say, oh, just go to church and be a good person. Right. That's the wrong direction. Right. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Pastor, I need help. You know, in my finances, our family is really struggling. How do I find prosperity? What if I just looked at you and said, just go to church and be a good person? That's just a general direction that will not lead you to your specific need. God's providing needs on our paths.
Yes.
On our paths.
Amen.
So many Christians, they're just riding the superhighway.
Yeah.
Well, just going in a general direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You got to get the specific step-by-step instructions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I know. I'm up here expecting Christians to get excited about it. Yay, responsibility. Yes, crucify my flesh. Yes, I got to pray more. Yes, I need to be in my Bible more. Yes, I got to turn the TV off. I guess I'm a fool for thinking that Christians would shout over that. But that's the path. That's woo. Yeah. But that's where your needs are met. Are on those specific directions. Oh, God, Lord, help me. I don't know why I'm feeling so impressed to say this. If you're just a Sunday only, you know, I'm just a good Christian, I go to church, I try to be a moral person, you're gonna go without. I'm gonna tell you something, Lord, I'll say it. We are in the days where moral people only, listen to me, where people that think that morality is effective Christianity. Now, how many of you know Christianity is moral? But when we just think that Christianity is just being a good person, being moral, well, you should at least be moral. But please understand me, if that is the depth of your Christianity, it's very shallow. And we're living in the days where that Christianity is getting devoured whole. I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians in America that are good, moral people who do not know God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Being moral does not mean you know him.
That's right.
Being moral and good and a churchgoer is, you know, loving God and loving country. You know, being a good guy on Sunday, getting up, going to work on Monday, working 9 to 5 and, you know, being nice and good and moral. But that doesn't mean you're on the path. That doesn't mean you know what to do. That doesn't mean you're listening to your spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't walk in Christianity in such a way that it's just a tradition. It's just the direction that you were raised in. It's got to mean something to you. You've got to seek God. You've got to ask, you've got to seek, and you've got to knock.
Amen.
If you're going to find. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Folks, please don't think that I'm, you know, insulting anybody or trying to be cruel. But so many Christians are in a coasting pattern right now. I'm just a good person. I'm going to church. I'm going to work. I'm feeding my family. And that's all there is to do with God. Folks, those things are wonderful. That's a great start. But do you know him? Do you hear his voice? Are you listening for the instructions? Are you calling out to know how God wants to do these things? You know, are you sensitive enough? where God could speak to you to talk to somebody or to give to somebody or whatever it was, to help somebody, serve, whatever it is. Could you hear that on the spot and know exactly what direction to take? Oh my goodness, I could tell you story after story. You know, oh Lord, I gotta be careful of what stories I share because I wouldn't ever want to hurt anybody's feelings. But there's been so many times, you know, where God has supernaturally led me at the moment, things that my mind just could not understand. And maybe one of these days I'll get to share some of those stories, but I don't want to without approaching, because there's some people in here that it could involve, and I wouldn't want to tell stories that would, you know, be something personal to them. But you got to be able to hear God's voice on the spot. Amen? Number one, ask him, Lord, show me the way. How do you want to meet this need? Two, keep a clear conscience. Listen to that umpire with every decision, you know, in your life, and you're going to have to get into word and prayer. Amen? Did you get some help here today? Well, that's my message, and I'm sticking to it. Amen. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we just love you. We praise you. Lord, we've got to have more than a moral Christianity. We've got to have a powerful Christianity, a Christianity.